Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Betty and Bob went to the theater, and there, as they had planned, they met the new city manager, Ellsworth Jameson, and his daughter, Margaret, who was recently picked up for drunken driving, the story of the escapade being suppressed by all the newspapers, including the Trumpet. Betty suggested that they all go somewhere for a bite and an opportunity to spend a couple of hours in pleasant conversation. But as we know, this meeting is more than a social one for Betty and Bob, who have come back to Monroe and the Trumpet because they believe the sudden resignation of the former city manager and the appointment of Jameson is but the first step in an effort of a powerful and corrupt gang of politicians to take over the local city government. Now, later this evening, we join Betty and Bob as they sit with city manager Jameson and his strange, tormented daughter in a booth at the Regal Cafe.
Oh, how do you like this place, Miss Jameson?
I've been here before.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I've been to all the places in this town, and they're all pretty much the same. Dull, like tonight's play.
Oh, now, Margaret, you've allowed that ridiculous play to spoil your mood for the entire evening.
Have I?
Well, it's perfectly obvious that you have.
I don't think I was in a much better mood before we went to the theater.
Now, Margaret, what are you trying to do? Convince our friends, the Drakes here, that you're a difficult girl?
I don't have to convince them. They know I'm a difficult girl.
Well, how? I mean...
You mean how? Well, I'll tell you how. They published that newspaper, The Trumpet. And The Trumpet didn't run anything about that little episode either.
Margaret, please.
That means they were told about it and persuaded to keep quiet. But they know I'm difficult. They know I'm very difficult. Otherwise, a lot of political pull wouldn't go to work to keep my name out of the newspapers.
Margaret, I beg of you, you're speaking too loud.
Am I?
As a matter of fact, Miss Jameson, I can tell you why we suppressed that story.
Yes? Tell me why. I was guilty of drunken driving, and that's a criminal offense. Why wasn't it in any of the newspapers? Why?
To be absolutely frank with you, Miss Jameson, we... At least the Trumpet didn't kill the story to spare your feelings.
Then what...
We did it out of consideration for your father.
Because it would have been bad publicity for him?
Yes. He's just starting out on a job. A big job. And we felt that his daughter's error shouldn't be held against him.
Thank you, Mr. Drake. That's very nice of you. I deeply appreciate your attitude.
That's about all there is to it, Miss James.
Yes? Well, don't you believe that? I don't believe anything.
Not anything?
No, not anything.
That covers a lot of territory.
I know it does.
A lot of places, a lot of people. Ideas, ideals. All the things worth living for.
What's worth living for?
Margaret, I can see that your mood is getting blacker by the second. I think we'd better go home.
What are you scared of?
Scared? What have I got to be scared about? Sometimes you say very silly things, Margaret.
Well, we all say silly things at one time or another, Mr. Jameson.
Don't apologize for me, Mrs. Drake. I always know what I'm saying. And besides, what can be sillier than being alive?
There you go again. We'd better go home now, Margaret.
Oh, no, please, don't rush off like this.
Well, all right. But, Margaret, no more of that talk, understand?
I understand.
Drake.
Yes?
I don't believe I've told you how extraordinary I think it is, how truly remarkable that a woman with children...
And what children?
Yes, and a home to care for, yet finds the time and the energy to work with her husband on a great newspaper. I think it's amazing.
Oh, it's not really so amazing, Mr. Jameson.
You've got a very modest wife, Drake.
Well, to hear her tell it, she's got to be modest in order to balance my conceit.
Yes, that's the way it very often is. I remember how my wife...
Father!
What?
Let's not talk about mother.
Oh, all right. What were we talking about before?
You were praising me to my face.
Oh, yes. Well, it wasn't praising you. It was just stating a fact. Isn't that right, Drake?
That my wife is marvelous, I've always accepted as a fact.
Oh, stop being so gallant.
No, but really, I know what newspaper work is like. It's a hard taskmaster. It drains your energy. And for a woman with other responsibilities, and in times like these especially...
Yes, Mr. Jameson. In times like these especially, when the world has gone raving mad, all of us must seek some line of duty to preserve what little sanity there is left. Well, running a newspaper is our line of duty. Your helping run a city is your line of duty. And to do our best along those lines... Well, that's the least we can do.
Oh, yes, I quite see your point. And I assure you, as city manager of this upstanding city, I'm going to contribute all my time and energies to see that it's kept a clean, honest city.
We almost see eye to eye, Mr. Jameson, except for one thing.
Well, what's that?
We don't think it should be kept a clean, honest city, because it isn't.
No?
We think it ought to be made into a clean, honest city.
Oh, well, that's really one and the same thing, isn't it?
No, hardly.
There are still probably some tendencies and elements in this city that need, or shall we say, ought to be rectified. But on the whole, well, whatever is wrong with this city, Mr. Drake, I assure you that for my part, no effort will be too great to make it better than it is. I assure you that... Margaret, where are you going?
I'm going home.
Margaret, you can wait.
I'm not waiting.
I rarely felt so humiliated.
That's all right, Mr. Jameson.
Sometimes that girl, even if she is my daughter, is totally beyond my understanding.
Well, perhaps she isn't happy here in Monroe.
Yes, she may miss her friends up in Seneca.
She didn't have many friends up in Seneca. Didn't behave much better either. I wish there was something I could do about it. I honestly do. Now, why should she have blown up like that? Why? What were we talking about that should have upset her so?
You were speaking about what was wrong with this city, Mr. Jameson.
Yes, you were saying that no effort would be too great on your part to make this city better than it is.
Yes, and... The next thing I knew, she gave me one of those murderous looks of hers, and she was gone. Murderous look from my own daughter.
Oh, no, I don't think it was as bad as that. She just seemed to be, well, angry about something.
But she's always angry. And I'm getting sick and tired of it. After all, she's no child anymore. She's 23. When her mother was alive, well, he knew how to handle her. But in the 6 years that Helen's been dead, well, I just can't cope with Margaret. I've tried everything, but no use. I've been kind and patient, gotten her out of one scrape after another, but sometimes children are a great disappointment. Don't you think?
Well, for myself, maybe I shouldn't say this, but it's what I believe.
Yes.
I've always tended to believe that children are mostly what their parents make them.
Oh, no, I disagree with you. I disagree entirely. Margaret had the best care and best upbringing and the best home. But there's something inside of her, something perverse, something wicked.
I think you've allowed yourself to become too excited, Mr. Jameson. I'm afraid you're overstating things a bit.
Yes. Yes, maybe I am. Maybe what happened just now is largely my fault. Yes, of course it's my fault.
How was that, Mr. Jameson?
Well, Margaret phoned me this afternoon at the office. You were there, Mr. Drake.
Yes, I was.
She asked my permission to drive up to Seneca this afternoon. I told her it was impossible because we were going to the theater tonight. Maybe I should have let her go.
Maybe.
Yes. Of course I should have let her go. It's all my fault. Margaret, you see, has always been kind of secretive. It's entirely possible that there's some young man she wanted to see up in Seneca.
Boy and girl, it's an old story.
Yes, yes, very likely. Yes, that would make a great change in Margaret, don't you think? If she got married.
Well, yes, if she married the right boy.
Oh, well, naturally, that's what I meant. Margaret married. I wonder who could be up in Seneca. But whoever it is, I'll find out and encourage him. I don't care if he's rich or poor. I can do things for him. That is, you know, I'd like to be a grandfather.
Would you, Mr. Jameson?
Yes, very much. A picture just flashed across my mind. A pleasant picture. Grandchildren. Grandson. Granddaughter. Nice. Give a man something to live for. Give Margaret something to live for, too.
Well, there's no question about Margaret Jameson being a strange girl. A tormented girl. What is back of her torment? Is it the same thing that is back of her father's constant jitters? This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.